Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Vayishlach, and the title of the shiur tonight is The Dotted Kiss. So tonight we're going to look at the interaction between Yaakov and Esav, and there's an interesting element of the Sefer Torah that we're going to try to understand and analyze based on that interaction. So if you look in source number one, it's Bereishis Perek Lamed Gimel Pasuk Aleph, and we're just going to read through a couple of psukim to get some background information. So the Pasuk Aleph starts as follows. It says, Vayisa Yaakov Einav, Vayar Vehine Esav Ba, Vimo Arba Meosish, Vayachat Es Hayladim, Aleav Veal Rachel Veal Shtei Shvachos. So Yaakov was traveling, and he knew that he was going to interact with Esav and come across Esav, and he saw Esav coming with 400 individuals. He got scared, and he divided up the children, Leah, Rachel, and the Shvachos, and his wives. Vayosem es haShvachos ves Yaldehen Rishona, ves Leah Vilade Acharonim, ves Rachel, ves Yosef Acharonim. And he placed the maidservants and their children first, and then he had Leah and her children, and afterwards Rachel and Yosef. Vehu avar lifnehem vayishtachu arzu sheva pe'amim ad gishto ad achiv. And Esav passed in front of Yaakov, and Yaakov prostrated himself. He bowed down to him 7 times until he approached his brother. And we're in Pasuk Dalet in source number 1. Vayartz Esav likraso vayichab keyu vayipol tzavara vayishakeyu vayivku. And Esav runs out towards Yaakov, and he falls on Yaakov's neck, he kisses him, and he cries. So the story tells us that Yaakov was nervous at first about interacting with Esav, and then in Dalet it says that Esav comes, Yaakov has to bow down to him before he actually encounters him. And then finally it says that Esav hugs him and kisses him, and they cry. So we don't have it actually on the source sheets, because I don't have the way that the Sefer Torah is written, the actual typography of the Sefer Torah. But in the Sefer Torah, on the word Vayishakehu in Pasuk Dalet, there's an interesting phenomenon, which is that all the letters have dots on top of them, or they have little diamonds on top of them. So if you look in a tikkun, or you actually look in a Sefer Torah itself, it's an interesting feature of the Sefer Torah that Vayishakehu, the word Vayishakehu, has dots on top of it. So the question, and the title of the shiur, which is The Dotted Kiss, because the words Vayishakehu have dots on top of them, little diamonds, the question is, why does the Torah employ this or use this method, and what's the significance of this, of using these dots or these diamonds on top of words in order to convey something or an idea? So Rashi actually takes this up, and Rashi is in source number 2, and he says as follows. He says, Andal Vayichab Kehu. So they hugged, and Esav hugged him. Nisgalgel Rachamov Kisharauhu Mishtachave Kol Hishtachavos Halalu. So according to Rashi, Esav felt some mercy upon Yaakov when he saw that Yaakov was bowing down to him, and he gives him a big hug, Vayishakehu, and he kissed him, Nakud Alav. So Rashi points out that in our Torahs, in our classic Torahs, they have dots. There are dots and little notes on top of the word Vayishakehu, little dots or diamonds. V'yish cholkin b'davar zeh b'braisa d'sifri. So there's a machlokes in a braisa in the sifri as to what the meaning of these dots are, what they're coming to teach us. Yesh darshu nakud zu lomar shalo nashku b'chol libo. So some want to say that the purpose of putting these dots on top of the word and he kissed him is to teach us that he wasn't sincere, that he was really insincere in his kiss. So Amar Rav Shimon ben Yochai, halacha hi b'yadua she'esav sone liyakov, and Rav Shimon ben Yochai argues and he says, no, it was a known thing that Esav hated Yaakov. Ela shenichmeru rachamav b'osashav v'nashku b'chol libo. So he says the opposite, that he really kissed him with complete sincerity. So the Rashi points out that, and this isn't Rashi alone, we'll see that there's a source for this idea, and it's the Sifri, but also Avos Rabbi Nasan. But Rashi points out, based on the Sifri, that there's a machlokes on the word Vayishakehu, because it's dotted, because there are dots on top of Vayishakehu on that word in the Torah, so it teaches us two possibilities as to how to interpret it. And there's a machlokes. One possibility is that the purpose of the dots are to teach us that he did not kiss him with sincerity, and the other is to teach us the opposite, that he kissed him with full sincerity, and he was nashgu b'chol libo. And if you look at the Radak says as follows, which we're going to go into a little more detail, but the Radak in source number 3 says, Vayishakehu nakud alav, same thing as Rashi. So all the Rishonim had these nekudos, these dots on top of Vayishakehu. But Bereishis Rabbah, So in the Medrash, Amar of Shimon ben Elazar, b'chol makom she'ata motza k'sav rabba al nekuda, ata doresh es k'sav. So anytime, there's a general rule about these dots, because this isn't the only place in the Torah where you have dots on top of the word, but anytime there are more letters than the dots, so you read the letter, you read the letters and not the dots. Nekuda rabba al k'sav, but if there are more dots than the letters themselves, ata doresh es nekuda, then you read the letters that are dotted. So if there are more letters than dots, you take out the letter that has a dot on top of it, which I'll show you inside. And the opposite is the case as well, that if there are more dots than letters, you usually read the dotted letters and not the ones without the dots. Kan lo aksav rabba v'lo hanakuda rabba, but in this case, by Vayishakeyu, you have an equal amount of dots and letters, because there's a dot on every single letter in the word. Melamed, so what does this teach us? Shenashku b'chol libo, that he kissed him with complete sincerity. Amar of Yanai im kain lama nakuda love. So if that's the case, so why is there nekudos? Why are there dots on top of it? Ela melamed shelo bikesh lenoshko. He didn't want to kiss him. Ela lenoshko, to bite him. Venaset sav aro shel Yaakov shel shayish v'shinov shel Esav shel shava. So what happened was Yaakov's neck turned into marble and Esav's teeth turned into wax. Zeb bacha al tzavaro v'zeb bacha al shinov. This one was crying about his neck, and this one was crying about his teeth. So again, we see in the Radak, similar to Rashi, but he just quotes the Medrash, that there's a machlokes based on the fact that the Torah puts dots on top of the word Vayishakehu as to what it means, what it teaches us. One possibility is that it teaches us about the sincerity of Esav, that he was completely sincere, and the other possibility is that he was insincere, and that he was really trying to bite Yaakov, he wasn't trying to kiss him. And the Sifsei Chachamim in source number 4, although our version of the Torah doesn't have this, he says, Rotzen Lomar, it's on Rashi, Milas Vayishakehu Nakud. So the word Vayishakehu has dots, Levad HaShin, except for the Shin. In our Torahs, the Shin does have dots on top of it, Shebo in a Nakuda, but the Sifrei Chacham says that Rashi, I guess one of the Sifrei Torah, does not have a dot on the Shin. V'havi ki'ilu k'siv Vayakeh Vayaku, Lashon Hakeh Ashinov. And it's as if the Shin is absent, you remove the Shin, and you only are Doresh the word, the letters that have dots on top of that. And if you're Doresh it, if you spell it out, it spells Vayaku, which means to knock out somebody's teeth. Hakei Ashinav, like from the Pesach Haggadah. Shehaya Bedaito Lenoshko. And that teaches us that Esav really wanted to bite Yaakov. So the question, one question is, you know, what's this machlokes about what the intention of Esav was? But the main question of the Shir that I want to take up is how does this method of drush work, where if you have dots on top of a word or top of letters, so it's trying to teach you some type of idea. So why does the Torah use this method, and when is it employed, when is it not employed? Okay, so that's really the question. And again, just to, the Radak explains, I think we'll see it again in one of the Rishonim, but the Radak explains how it works, that if you have a letter, let's say you had a word, the Vayishakehu, and one of the letters is missing a dot, it's as if the lack of dot is telling you to take that letter out, so you would read it differently. And if you have more letters than dots, so let's say you have 5 letters, but only one letter has a dot on it, so you take out the letter with a dot on it, and you read it as follows. So that's what the method of using these dots are to be Doresh. But the question is, it's really strange, this method, and why is it in actual Sefer Torah? It's an interesting thing that it's actually in our Sefer Torah, that we have these dots on top of these words and letters. And it's a real thing. It's in all of our Sefer Torah. So what's the source for the dots? And where do the dots come from? So if you look in source number 5, it's Maseches Avos D'Rabbi Nasan. And he goes through all the times in the Torah. It's not that many, so we're going to go through it. And he goes through all the times in the Torah where there are dots on top of words and letters, and he gives us the explanation of each time. So if you look in source number 5, it's Avos Rabbi Nasan again, Nusach Aleph, Perek Lamed Dalet, Dibar Maschil, Eser Nekudos. So Eser Nekudos B'Torah Eluhain. So he says there are ten examples of dots on top of words in the Torah. And what are they? Yishbod Hashem Beini Uveinecha. So one of them, the first one, is when there was the whole story about Hagar, that Hagar and Sarah were fighting, and Hagar got pregnant, and Sarah was upset, and she says to Avraham to get rid of Hagar. And in the meantime, when she's talking to Avraham, she says, Hashem should judge between me and you. It says, Beini uveinecha in the pasuk. Nakud al yud shebeveinecha. So there's a dot on top of the yud in the word uveinecha. So what does that teach us? Milame shelo amrlo el al Hagar. That she wasn't referencing Avraham, that there was any deficiency of Avraham, and she wasn't saying, because literally she's talking to Avraham. So it sounds like Yishpot Hashem b'niu v'necha means that Hashem will judge between me and you, meaning Sarah and Avraham. But rather, she's saying it means Hashem will judge, will be the judge between me and Hagar. So that's what the dot teaches you. The dot teaches you that b'necha is not a reference to Avraham, but rather it's a reference to Hagar. V'yesh omrem al hamatil in mariva b'niu v'necha. Some want to say that the dot is to say, it's literally means between me and you, but it's the one who's causing us to fight, meaning Hagar. It's the same lima, the same idea. So this is number one of the dots. The first one of the dots is by Avram, Sarah, and Hagar. The second one, Kiyotzebo, so he says similarly, Vayomre love Aye Sarah. So when the Malachim come to tell Avraham about the fact that he's going to have a child and he's going to have Yitzchak, they say to Avraham, where is Sarah? Aye Sarah Ishtecha. So in that pasuk also it says, Nakud al Aleph Yud Vav. On the word a love, the lamed in the word does not have a dot, only the aleph yud and the vav, which means ayo. Sheb elav melamed sheyodin ba umevakren acharah. So the mefarshim say on that pasuk, this is not just the avos Rabbi Nassim, because all the rishonim take these up on all these different sukkim, but they say that it means to tell us that the malachim knew where Avraham was, and in fact, simultaneously they were engaging Sarah in conversation, and they were saying ayo, which means where is your husband, Avraham. So as they were talking to Avram and saying Aye, they were also saying Ayo, and that's what the dots teach you. Okay, let's keep going. We're just going to read through them and briefly describe them, and then at the end there's an interesting, the source of it is actually very fascinating. Big source of controversy. Okay, so those are that's number two. So we're up to number three. It says, so also by the story of Lot, when Lot slept with his daughters, it says that he did not know when he was sleeping with them, he was too drunk, and when he got up. So nakud al vav shebekuma harishon malamed shel hirgish elabamidasa shel tzira. So the mefarshim say that what it means to teach us is that Lot did not know when he was sleeping with his daughter, but when he got up, it says uvkuma. So you shouldn't read it that he didn't know what happened after he got up. He did realize it, and that's what the dot teaches us. The dot on the vav, it teaches us that he understood what had happened with his older daughter when he got up. Kiyotzebo, similarly, Vayaratz Esav Likraso Vayichab Keyu Vayipol Al Tzavara Vayishakeyu. So it says also in our pasuk, this is number four in the list, in our pasuk it says Vayishakeyu, and the dots are over Vayishakeyu, Kulo Nakud. The whole thing is Nakud. Malamech Lo Nashku Be'emes. So one is that he wasn't sincere. Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar Omer Nishika Zu Shel Emes Vechulon Einon Le'emes. So this one was very sincere, the rest of them are not sincere. Okay, fine. So too, by Yosef, it says that his brothers went to go shepherd the tzon, the cattle in Shechem. Nakud al es, al es. On the word es, there's dots. Melamech lo liros hatzon halchu el lechov lishtos lispatos. So it's teaching us that they weren't actually going to shepherd the cattle, but they were rather just going to talk and to eat and to jest and to have fun. Chiyotzebo, and there's another one. Chiyotzebo, kol pekudei aleviim asher pakad Moshe ve'Aaron. So all of the when they counted all of the Leviim, it says all the count that Moshe and Aaron did. Nakud al Aaron. There's a dot on the word Aaron. Lama? Why? Malamish lo aya Aaron min aminya. That Aaron wasn't counted in the count of the Kohanim. So we keep going. Chiyotzebo obederech recholka. Another one is by the Pesach Sheni, there's a dot on top of Rechoka on the hay. Nakud al hay sheb Rechoka, melame shlo haysa derech Rechoka, elamina skupas azar velachutz. It means that it doesn't mean that you have to be far away literally from the Mikdash to be chayv in Pesach Sheni, but as long as you're outside of the azara, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you're considered distant, Rechok. And that's why the Nakud's on the hay, to remove the hay and read it Rechok. Kiyotzebo, another example. We're coming to the end. V'nashim ad nofach asher ad medva. When it's talking about the destruction of Moav, it says v'nashim ad nofach asher medva. These are names of places. Nakud al reish sheba asher. On the word asher, there's a dot on the reish. Lama why melamed shecharivu haumos lo hecharivu hamedinos. To teach you that the nations were destroyed and not the actual states and city states. Chiyotzebo, and there's another one, v'isaron isaron, that's a measurement for korbanos, shel yom tov arishon shel chag ha-sukos, nakod isaron bevav, the isaron is nakod with a vav, the vav is has a dot, lama, l'melamech lo yehesham ela isaron echad, that's to teach you that they were supposed to measure it with measuring cups that can measure one isaron at a time. Okay, so Kiyotzebo, finally, the last one. Hanistaros l'Hashem Elokeinu, v'haniglos lanu v'aninu. So this is a famous one also, where all of the letters have dots on it. It says the hidden ones are for Hashem, and the ones that are open, revealed, are for us and our children. Nakud al lanu ulvanenu v'al ayin shiba'ad. So all of the words of lanu ulvanenu and the ayin of ad have dots on them. Lama, so why? So now this is the medrash that ties everything together. Elikach amar Ezra. This is what Ezra said. Im yavo Eliyahu, if Eliyahu comes, v'yomar li, and he says to me, mipnei ma kasaftakach, why did you write these words? Omer ani, so I'll say, lo kfar nakati alein, did I not put dots on top of them to indicate that I shouldn't have written them? Vim omer li yafek kasafta, and if he says you wrote the right letters, evor nekuda me'alein, then I'll remove the dots from them. Okay, this is very, very hard, very troublesome. So the Avos Rabbi Nassan, he gives us all the cases where there are dots, and the question is, are there similarities? Is there one idea between all these cases? We went through all 10 cases, but the last point in the Avos Rabbi Nassan is very difficult. What is it? What is the source? Where do these dots come from? So the Avos Rabbi Nassan...
That's a good question.
Yeah, go ahead.
The dots that you're talking about, they're always on the top of the words?
Yes. They're always on the top of letters, on different letters, on the top of the words in the Torah.
Yeah. It's always the case that this is always the only cases that there's dots on the top of the words. Like in, I guess there's always like a cholem, but
No. I'm talking about in the Torah where there's no nekudos in general. So in the Torah itself, there's no cholem, there's no chirik, there's nothing like that except. Yeah, there's no nekudos in general. The way that we read it is you memorize it based on. But if you look in the actual Sefer Torah, there are no nekudot except for these strange dots on top of the letters, and they're only in these places. They're never. But in other words, there's no dots and there's no nekudot at all. So the way that we learn So that's the question. Why does so the Torah the Rav Avos Rabbi Nassan is telling us that. Just like Vayishakehu, which is one example, it says that there are all these 10 examples in the Torah where you have dots on top of different letters or different words to teach us and to be dorish different ideas about what the Torah is trying to teach us and tell us. However, the end of the Avos Rabbi Nassan is very troublesome. Why? Because he says, what's the source? Where do we get these dots from in the Torah? Where do we know that the Torah has these tiny little diamonds or dots in the actual ksav, the actual writing of the Torah? So it's from Ezra. So the Medrash says that Ezra was misapik, he was doubtful as to whether he should write the words that have the dots on them or not write them. So what he did was, he wrote these dots on them, and he said, it says, Kach amar Ezra. Ezra said, if Eliyahu comes and he says, why did you write these letters or why did you write these words, I can tell him that I put dots on them in order to indicate that they might not belong. But if I did do that right, if I put the dots on them correctly, if I wrote the words correctly and these were the right words, then we'll just take the dots away and we'll just leave it in the Torah as is. So what he's saying is very difficult. He's saying, for example, let's take our word, Vayishakehu. So why do you write the dots? The way the Avos Rabbi Nassan is saying it, he wrote the dots because he wasn't sure whether to write the word or not. So he wrote the word in and then he put the dots on to indicate that he's in Mesupak, he's in doubt as to whether the word really belongs there. This is what the Medrash, this is what Avos Rabbi Nassan is saying factually. Elikach amar Ezra, im yavo Eliyahu v'yomer li b'pnei ma kasafta kach, why did you write this? Omer ani lo kfar nakati alein. He's going to say back to Eliyahu, I put dots on there to indicate that there's a suffix, there's a doubt to the validity of this word. He says, v'im omer li yafek safta, if he said you did proper, evor nekudom helen, then I'll remove the dots, because it means the words belong as they are. So there's a lot of questions on this. The strongest question, and then there are other questions. One, the strongest question is that this is really kfira. This is really heresy, the Avos Rabbi Nassan. And this is the most powerful question. So if you look in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva Perek Gimel, so the Rambam says, Halacha Ches, Shlosha Hein Hanikroin Apikorsin. There are three individuals who are called apikorsin. Ha'omer she'ein sham nevuah klal ve'ein sham mada shemagia mehabore lelev b'nei ha'adam. So one is if a person does not believe in nevuah. Ve'amachish nevuaso shel Moshe Rabbeinu, if you contradict the nevuah of Moshe. Ve'omer she'ein habore yodea ma'aseh b'nei adam, and if you say that Hashem doesn't know the acts of man, if you say that he's not omniscient, you're an apikoros. So he says kol echad mishlosha elohein apikorsin. Shoshahena Kofrim B'Torah, and then there are three who are called Kofrim. They're also, they're heretics. They deny the Torah. HaOmer She'ena Torah Mi'im Hashem. Afilu Pasuk Echad, Afilu Teva Achas. Anybody who says that the Torah is not from Hashem, even one pasuk, even one letter, Im Amar Moshe Amru B'Pi Atzmo, Harize Kofrim B'Torah. If you say that Moshe did it on his own, and he just wrote the Torah on his own, you're a kofer. V'chena kofer b'perusha v'hu Torah shebal peh, v'hamachish magideach yigon tzadok u'baitos. So if you deny Torah shebal peh and you mock it, like tzadok and baitos, v'omer sha'borei hechlif mitzvah zu b'mitzvah acheres u'kfar batla Torah zu, afal pi shehi haisa me'em Hashem, kigon agarim kol echa mishlosha elu kofer b'Torah. The third is a person who says that the Torah is outdated and the mitzvos that are written in the Torah are not really applicable to us nowadays. So there are three types of kofrim b'Torah, and the first one is a person who believes that not all the Torah is from Hashem, and even if you believe that if one letter is not from Hashem, so you're really defined as a kofer. So the problem is that the Avos Rabbi Nosson, which is very ancient, it's recorded in the as being written in the time of the Gaonim, but it's considered one of the Mesechtos of the Gemara. It's Mesechtos Ketanios. It's really written in the time of the Gaonim, but it was by included Amoraim and Tanaim in it. So it states this strange idea, the strange medrash about the source of the Nekudos, that the source of the Nekudos were that Ezra was really Mesupak, he was really unsure as to whether he should write the words or not, and he decided to write them, but with dots on top of them to indicate that these might not be part of the Torah, or they might. And then if Elio comes and he clarifies the issue, so either he'll keep it as is with the dots, or he'll take the dots away, and the words will be written properly as they were meant to be. So the problem with this is that it sounds like fear. It sounds like Ezra was just kind of fiddling with the Torah, and if he wasn't sure and he didn't have a Mesorah as to what was written in the Torah, so it sounds like we're saying, based on this Medrash, that Ezra really wrote the Torah. He wrote words in the Torah, when we know that if you believe that you're a kofer, we don't believe that Ezra wrote words in the Torah. We believe that the whole Torah is from Hashem. So we can't believe that certain words, Nistaros and, Vaishakeo, how could we possibly believe that those may not be from Hashem? That is actual kfira. It's actually heresy. So that's kind of a big problem with this Medrash in the Avos Rabbi Nosson. And it's such a big problem that if you look in Rav Moshe Feinstein, he has a tshuva on Hilchos Sifrei Torah in source number 7. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, in discussing different various psulim in the Sefer Torah, he brings up this Avos Rabbi Nosson, and he says in number 7, V'af ha-nekudos she-b'Torah she'ein bahem psul, b'einim lo nasu osan ha-nekudos ba-Sefer Torah, u'v'einim nimtza eze nekudos she'ein tzrichin. So he says that... he says which things you have to are considered defined as psulim in a Sefer Torah, but he says that if the nekudos, so these dots are in the wrong place, or let's say you find extra dots, it doesn't automatically create a psul in the Torah, because it's not a ma'akev at the Torah. He says, Nami Asur Ayin Mepeske Tosos Menachos Simon Reish Lamed Aleph Shekas of Ezra HaTorah Asa Nekuda. So he quotes he's going to quote the Avos Rabbi Nosson, but he brings down this medrash. He says where Ezra put the dots in the Torah. Amar, he said, in Yomar Moshe, Lama Nakata, Ashiv, Halo Lo Machakti. So if Moshe says to him, why did you put dots? I'll answer, I didn't erase it. Halo Lo Machakti. V'hu Braisa, B'Avos Rabbi Nosson, Perak Lamedalad, Halacha Dalad, B'Lashon Acher. So the Braisa has a different Lashon in Avos Rabbi Nosson, Shiu Girsa Mutas. But this is an incorrect version. So he wants to say that the correct version is that Ezra had this, and he just didn't erase it. It means that, and he put Nekudos on it, but he said, I'm not going to erase it. Even though he was Masupak, he was doubtful whether this belonged in the Torah or not, these words. But he says in the Girsa of Avos Rabbi Nosson, he says it's a Girsa Mutas, She'isa Omar Ezra im Yavo Eliyahu v'yomar li mipnei ma kasafta kach, Omar ni lo kfar nakati alein, v'im Omar li yafe kasafta evir nekuda me'alein. He quotes the same Avos Rabbi Nosson where Ezra says to Eliyahu, I kept these words in because I wasn't sure, but I put dots on it to indicate. However, if it's proper, if these words are correct, then you can remove the dots. V'hu tois barer. So he says this is a big mistake. Sheksiva satevo shibitora lo shayech sheish alu lama kasvan. So the words and the letters in the Torah, there's no relevance to asking why were they written. Darei Moshe mipiagvura kasvan. Moshe wrote them from God. V'hamuchkan Anybody who would erase it, Hubachal Kidvar Hashem Biza, anybody who would attempt to erase the words of Moshe, either Girsa that you have, anyone who would attempt to erase the words of Moshe or put in words that he wasn't sure of, is really denigrating the words of Hashem. V'hu kofer b'torah, he says he's a kofer. Darei hu ka'omer, she osios elu lo nechtavu mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's as if you're saying that these letters were not written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Osha HaKadosh Baruch Hu hechlif, or that he switched it. V'amar shmaisa lo yechtavu, that you shouldn't write this. She travayu elu nechshavim kofer b'torah. These are all defined as kofer b'torah. The gam im eno tzarech lechosvan ma yo'o mashik savan akuda. He also asks a good question. He says, if you weren't supposed to write these words, so how does the nakuda actually help? How does the dot help? Ayin Mashakasa Bavinyan Yoshua, Haim Dvarm Shlo Nisnu Le Omer. You can't say these things. She Ezra Sofer Lo Tikin Shum Davar. He didn't change anything about the Torah. He didn't fix it. The Shum Navi Shiva Olam. No Navi in the world. Lo Yuchal Lishano Shum Davar. You can't change anything in the Torah itself. De Ila Mitzvah Shana Navi Lashai Lachadish Davar. A Navi doesn't have the right to extrapolate, to add anything to the Torah that wasn't Mipi Moshe from Hashem. Okay, so we have this Avos Rabbi Nassan. And he shows us all, Avos Rabbi Nassan has all the cases where there are dots, and the most relevant one in our parsha of Vayishlach is on Vayisha Keu. All the Rishonim accept the validity of these dots, but the problem is that the source of them, it sounds like, is Kfira, that Ezra really wasn't sure whether the words that have the dots on them were supposed to or be in the Torah, so he kind of guessed it out, and he said, okay, I'll put them in, but I'll put the dots on it, and then if Eliyahu comes, we'll figure it all out. So Ramosha says, based on the Rambam, that this is Kfira, and he therefore says, which is very drastic, but he says that you must therefore say that this isn't a real Girsa. This really doesn't belong. It's not a correct version of Avos Rabbi Nassan, and you have to remove it from your Avos Rabbi Nassan. So this is one approach to the problem. We still have to understand why the Torah, if let's say you say that it's not from Ezra, but still the question is, why does the Torah utilize this method of drush, of using these dots, and only in these cases in the Torah? And that's still something that we're going to have to explain. But Rav Moshe and the Rambam, based on the Rambam, takes a very strong point of view about this, and he just says that it can't be that this is true. This must be a wrong girsa, it's not really true, and Ezra could not have put in words that he thought might not be part of the Torah. All Ezra did was copy down.
How do you define girsa? What is a girsa?
A girsa means a version. So he's saying this is a false version. Somebody edited into Avos Rabbi Nassan. He's saying it's not really accurate at all. It's as if somebody saw the Avos Rabbi Nassan and he added in these words, but it can't be real. That's what he's saying. He's saying it's not real. He says it's a girsa mutas, which means it's a flawed version. So whoever found the Avos Rabbi Nassan and printed it, so maybe somebody added this element to it. Or somebody had added this to the Avos Rabbi Nassan that was found, then it was added, but it's definitely wrong. It can't be true. Because how could you say that Ezra, which came much later than Moshe Rabbeinu, Ezra was by the second base of Mikdash, how could you say that he's rewriting the Torah, that he's adding words in the Torah that we never knew before,
and he's putting
these words in, but he's saying, I'm unsure whether these words belong, and therefore I'm going to put dots on top of them in order to indicate that I'm not sure. So how could you say that? It's crazy, right? So that's what he's saying. Ramosha Feinstein, one of the Gdolei Ador, recent Gdolei Ador, he says that's crazy. Therefore, it must be, he's convinced that this can't be what the Medrash is. It must be false. Somebody, you know, doctored it and added this in, and therefore we don't learn it this way. Okay? So that's his approach. But then you have Rishonim. You have people before of Moshe who did actually bring down this Medrash. And the Cheskuni in source number 8, on one of the Pesukim that we did, it was on the Pasuk by... Which Pasuk? It was on the Pasuk... Oh, by Sarah and Hagar. It's the first time there's a dot. He actually brings this medrash down. He says, Kol tevos ubeinecha, on the word ubeinecha, meaning Sarah is saying to Avraham that Hashem will judge between me and you, not me and you, Avraham, but me and Hagar. Kol tevos nekudo shebetorah musupakos hayu biyadav shel Ezra sofer. Any word or any letter that has a dot on top of it, Ezra was misupak. He was in doubt as to whether it belonged in the Torah. Omar, he said, im yavo Moshe Rabbeinu, if Moshe comes, v'omer le mipnei malka saftas elu, why did you write this? Omer lo, kfar nakati aleim, I'll say to him, listen, I rectified it, I wrote dots on it. V'im omer li, and if he says to me, lama nakata aleim, why did you put dots on it? V'omer lo, I'll say back to him, hare lo mechaktim ve'evir es nekudos me'aleim. I didn't erase the words, and I'll just remove the nekudos. So on the one hand, you have Rav Moshe Feinstein, and based on the Rambam, saying that this can't be the girsa of Avos Rabbi Nasan. It can't be that he's saying that Ezra added these words in when he wasn't sure whether they belonged in the Torah. Because that's crazy. That you can say that now. You can look at the Torah and say maybe we should take these words aren't from God. They're not from Hashem. It changes our whole approach. But you see that the Chizkuni, who's one of the Rishonim, actually has this medrash. And he must have known about the Rambam, because the Rambam, this is one of the Ikarim, the essential ideas in the Torah, that every word and letter in the Torah is really from Hashem. So how do you explain the Rishonim, the Chizkuni, and the explanation? How can you explain the Avos Rabbi Nasan in a rational way, where it's not kfira, where it's not heresy? Is there a possible way of explaining it? The other question that you have, before we go on and a little bit further, the other question that we have on the Avos Rabbi Nasan, which is in source number 5, is that if he says on the one hand that Ezra wasn't sure about the nature of these words, whether they belonged in the Torah, but on the other hand, you see from the Avos Rabbi Nasan that there's tremendous amounts of drash, there's a lot of ideas and different possibilities that are drawn out from the fact that these dots are used. And we see it most notably in our pasuk by Vayishakehu. There's two different ways to learn Vayishakehu just from the dots. So if they were just meant to teach us that these words may or may not belong here, so how was it possible that in the actual Avos Rabbi Nasan, he's quoting all these chazals, he's quoting our rabbis to teach us all the things that they learned from the dots? If the dots were just meant to tell us that the words don't belong, or that the words and the letters might not belong in the Torah, so within the Avos Rabbi Nasan, why is he telling us that all these ideas and these concepts are being drawn out from the dots? It seems kind of false. Because the whole purpose of the dots were not to teach us ideas, they were just so that Ezra could display or demonstrate that these words he's mesupak about, that he's in doubt about. So that's a question on the actual medrash itself. How do we understand this Avos Rabbi Nasan, that on the one hand he's saying that it was sourced in Ezra making the decision to include these words, but on the other hand, the dots, we learn so much from the dots, right? So that's the question. So that's really an essential question. And then finally, one more question. Vayishakehu, so that word has all dots on it, or hanistaros. So how could you take Vayishakehu out of the pasuk? If you look in source number dot and source number one, pasuk dal, it says Vayaratz Esav lekraso Vayichabkehu Vayipol al tzavarov. And if you take Vayishakehu out, it says Vayivku, and they cried. The Vayishakehu is necessary. So what does it mean? And how do you even understand the pshat that Ezra was in doubt whether the words really belonged in the Torah? If you took that word out, it wouldn't make any sense. The Torah would be completely lacking. So how do you understand this medrash? And fine, you can go one way with Rav Moshe, so you can just remove it and say that it's doctored, and just hold that it came from Moshe Rabbeinu, and everything and all the limudim emerged from Moshe Rabbeinu. But if you want to learn like the Chizkuni, and you have other Rishonim that agree that this medrash is valid and it's legitimate, so the question is how do you understand it? How do you understand the medrash in a rational way where you're not a kofer, but on the other hand, you understand how you can learn out things from these nekudos, and they're not just there to teach us that he was mesupak. And how do you even say that you can possibly take any of these words out? You can't take Vayishakehu out. The whole pasuk wouldn't make sense. So how do we make sense, again, how do we rationalize this medrash and the purpose of the dots and how the dots work? Okay, so that's the question. And one more point, and then we'll try to give a couple answers. So one more point is the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi also had these dots, and the Yerushalmi was written before the Bavli, and it says as follows in source number 9. It says, V'rabbanan Amri, so how do you interpret the dots? V'rabbanan Amri, b'shah sh'aksav rabba al-nekudos at dorish as-aksav u'misalik as-nekuda, u'vishah sh'ha-nekuda rabba al-aksav at dorish as-nekuda u'misalik as-aksav. So again, I just wanted to reiterate how it works, that really the dots are on top. Sometimes the dots are on all the letters of a word, sometimes they're on one letter of a word. So basically, if there are more dots than letters, you read the letters with the dots, and you leave out the letters without the dots. If there's less letters with dots on it, you take out the letter with the dot, and you leave the letters without the dots. So that's how you read them. So there's a method, there's a whole method of how you interpret the dots. So again, it's very strange. You don't see very common, it's not very common in the Torah. It's only 10 places where you have words that have diamonds or dots on top of them. And it's very bizarre. So how do we explain the phenomenon of the dots and the nekudos in the Torah? So that's really the question that we started with, but I wanted to add some fuel to the fire. So we're not going to be kofrim from here, and we're going to try to answer this with the Karim, the Yud Gimli Karim of the Rambam in mind. And we'll say So there's two possibilities here. There's two possibilities I was thinking about a lot the last couple of days. One of them is based on an area that I was doing last week, but the other one is separate. So there's two explanations of how to explain the Medrash and the Avos Rabbi Nassan. If anybody wants to try right now, take a shot, go ahead. It's very difficult. So how do you explain the Avos Rabbi Nassan without Rav Moshe's just rejection of it? So I was thinking of two possibilities. One possibility is that you see from the Avos Rabbi Nassan that all the ideas that the dots convey are really ideas of drush. They're really ideas that we can expound on from the psukim, from the dots themselves. And the dots teach us something that you wouldn't know necessarily if you just read the pshat of the Torah. So, for example, if you read the word Vayishakeu without the dots, you would just think that he casually kissed Yaakov. You wouldn't be able to read anything into it. But the dots, they really expand upon the word Vayishakeu, and they teach you a different idea about the word. And you see that by all the other examples. For example, by Lot, it says, V'lo yada b'shechva uvkuma. So it says that he didn't know when he was sleeping with her and when he got up. So if you just didn't have the dot, you would say he didn't know what happened. He didn't know that he slept with his daughter as he was sleeping because he was drunk. And even when he got up, he didn't know what happened. But the dot teaches you a new idea about Ufkuma, that when he got up, he actually knew that it's not like B'shechva. It's not like what happened when he went to sleep, but it's different. That just when he went to sleep, he was completely drunk. He didn't know what was going on. When he woke up, Ufkuma, the dot teaches you that he knew. If you didn't have the dot, you wouldn't think that he knew. You would think that he was completely absent-minded to the fact that he was that he slept with his daughters, with his first daughter, his older daughter. So the dot teaches us all these ideas about the Torah and all these ideas about these words that we wouldn't have gotten without them. So I think Ezra really had that, based on the Avos Rabbi Nassan, Ezra had these concepts. He knew about the idea of Vayishakeu, that there was a machlokes between on how to learn Vayishakeu, but he understood that there was that you can expand upon the word Vayishakeu. And usually in the Torah, when you have drash, when you have an idea that of expansion of an idea or concept, the Torah writes stuff in a different way. For example, like the Torah will put an extra vav, or the Torah it's all through the Gemaras. If you read through all Gemaras, whenever they're Doresh Limudim, you have Gzera Shavas, where you have the same word in two different Pesukim, or sometimes if the Pesuk split up in a weird way, you can learn out a different idea from the Pesuk that you might not have known if not for the fact that the word was, or the Pesuk was split up in a different way. But over here, perhaps the idea is that Ezra realized that if you just wrote the word Vayishakeu alone without the dots on it, so he realized that these ideas, he didn't understand how these ideas could be Doresh. You can be Doresh these ideas and understand the ideas without the dots there. Meaning, normally you can be Doresh, you can expand based on the way the Pasuk's written, if there's a weird grammar, if the word is written differently than you would normally think it was written. But over here, Vayishakeu is the normal way to write it. It's the perfectly natural element of the Torah to write Vayishakeu, that he kissed him. Or if you read it, if you read before, it says, Yishbur Hashem b'ni uvinecha. So if you were speaking to your husband, that's the way that it would be written, and that's the way it was written. There's nothing abnormal about the way it's written. So according to Ezra realized that these ideas, though, were contained in the Pesukim. So the idea of Beinecha, which is that it's not a comparison between Avram and Sarah, but it's a comparison between Sarah and Hagar, Ezra knew that idea, and he knew that idea was present in the Pasuk. But he wasn't sure, he didn't know if those ideas could be expanded upon and expounded if not for the dots, if the word was just written in a normal way. So if you had Ufkuma, for example, that Lot got up, and you had no dots, so Ezra was Mesupak. He wasn't Mesupak. He wasn't in doubt as to whether the words belonged, because that doesn't make sense. Of course you need the words. The Pasuk wouldn't make sense if you took the word out. But he was in doubt as to whether or not the ideas of the drash, the ideas of the expansion on the Pasuk, could be learned out with the word alone. So what he did was he put these dots in order that the ideas be clear from these words that you can expand upon them and you can learn out these ideas. And if not for the dots, he didn't understand how a person or how the Chachamim or how Chazal could be Doresh. They could expand and expound and analyze these ideas from the Pesukim. So that's what he was Mesupak about. And in fact, if you read it properly, I think if you read it again, so really what Eliyahu is saying to him is, why did you write these? Why didn't you? And he says, I put dots on them. And then he says, if they're written properly, then I'll take the dots away. So what he's saying is that I believe what Ezra is saying is that I believed or I maintained that the only way the Torah Shebaal Peh, the ideas of the pasuk, the idea of Vayishakehu could be elaborated on is with the dots. But without the dots, if the word was written properly and normal, nobody would be able to be dorish these ideas, and the ideas would be lost, or they wouldn't be able to be expanded upon. So what did I do? I added the dots in. But if they can be written properly without the dots, and they can convey the ideas of the pasuk without the dots, then I'll take the dots away. So what was Ezra Masupak about? He wasn't Masupak, he wasn't in doubt as to whether the words belonged, because that's impossible. The words, like I said, if you took out Vayishakehu, the pasuk would be lacking, it would just be a weird pasuk. But he was what he was in doubt about is the actual word itself. If you just left the word without the dots, if it said Vayishakehu, could you figure out a way to be Doresh, to expand and analyze the concept that either Esav was sincere or insincere? So he wasn't sure. He was Mesupak. He was in doubt. Is it possible to learn out those ideas, the possibility that Esav was sincere or insincere from just the word alone? Or must there be some indication from the Torah itself that there's an expansion upon that and there are different ways that you can go with this word? So that's and in fact, the way that we learn it is that every time we see the Nekudos, we're Dorish, we expand upon it and we say it's trying to teach us an idea. So again, the point, I think, the point of the Medrash, without being a kofer and without rejecting it, because you see that the Chizkuni accepts it, so how would he explain it? So again, the concept is that if you just had the word alone without the dots, that's what he wasn't sure about. Ezra wasn't sure whether or not the ideas, all these ideas in the 10 places, could be learned out from the word without the dot. And in fact, you see it in all the cases, like Va'aron. If it just said, Kiyotzeva kol pekudei ha-Levim asher pakad Moshe ve'Aron, if it just said the count of the Levim that Moshe and Aaron counted without the dot on Aaron, so maybe there would be an impossibility of learning out that Aaron was excluded. So he needed to put the dot there because he maintained that there is no other way that you can use any methodology or method of learning analysis to understand that concept that Aaron was excluded. So he put the dots in order to demonstrate that, or because he was unsure. But he wasn't adding any words to the Torah. That's impossible. He didn't add any words to the Torah. He just wasn't sure whether the word alone by itself would convey these ideas or not convey these ideas. Okay, so that's one possibility. Is that clear? Anybody want me to explain it again? Tamar? It's good? All right, so another possibility is based on, I think this is a nice idea also as well. So another possibility is really based on an area that I did last week with my Chabura on Shabbos. So in source number 10, we were talking about Lavan. So the idea by Lavan is that when Lavan goes to kiss Yaakov, it says in source number 10, in Perchlav Tes, Pasuk Yigimel, Vayhi chishmo Lavan es shema Yaakov ben achoso, Vayarz lekraso, Vayichabek lo, Vayinashek lo, Vayivyehu el beso. So when Yaakov goes to Lavan's house, Lavan gets excited, and he goes out to hug him, and he goes to kiss him, and he brings him into his house. So if you look at the Pasuk, it's very similar to our Pasuk, Pasuk Dalet. Because if you go back to source number 1, it says, Vayarz Esav lekraso, Vayichab keyu, Vayipol tzavra, Vayishakehu, Vayivku. So Esav goes out, he's very excited to see Yaakov, he goes to hug him and kisses him. And Lavan goes out and he goes to hug Yaakov and he hugs him and he kisses him. But by Lavan, we don't see any dots. There's no dots in the Torah on the top of Vayinashek. However, Rashi learns out, just like by Esav, Rashi says, Vayartzli Kerso, Kisavar Mamon, Mamon Hutaon, that he was carrying money, Shari Evid Abayis Balakan Basar Gamam Tunim, because Lavan remembered when Eliezer came with lots of money. So Lavan was trying to frisk him and fleece him for money. So when he didn't see that he had money with him, he hugged him to try to take money from him, to try to pickpocket him. He kissed him. Maybe he has pearls in his mouth. So the Torah tells us that Lavan kissed him and he hugged him, and it's very similar to our pasuk, but we don't have any dots, but yet the Mefarshim and the Drash is similar, that really Lavan wasn't trying to kiss him, but he had nefarious intentions, that he was trying to fleece him and he was trying to take his money from him. So over there, by Lavan, we see that Ezra decided, or there was no suffix as to whether or not the dots were necessary, but over here, by our pasuk, by Esav, the dots are necessary. So what's the difference between the two? So there's another possibility, so the phenomenon of the dots. So what's the concept of a dot? So normally, when we learn Torah, there's two elements. There's pshat and drash. There's four, but there's remez and sod. But we usually separate them, and there's usually different levels of learning. There's a level of pshat, and there's a level of drash. And sometimes when you learn the pshat alone, there's nothing lacking when you learn the pshat alone. So if you learn that Lavan was trying to hug him and kiss him, so there's really, really, although the Mefarshim explained that he was not sincere, but if you learn the pshat, you're not really lacking. Why? Because really the Torah is actually telling us that Lavan was very good at hiding his intentions. And in fact, the pshat being this way and being presented in a non-nefarious way is actually important and it's relevant. So sometimes it's important, many times, most times, it's important to separate pshat and drash. And it's important to recognize that there's a literal understanding, and it's fine to understand it that way. And then there's greater learning, greater insight, and greater analysis, and it's also good to learn it that way. But the two of them, they can coexist, but they're two separate types of learning. And as long as you're reading the pshat, and you're not lacking in the pshat, and there's a benefit to reading it this way, so we don't say that you put dots, but perhaps whenever you want the drush to be nicker, to be obvious in the pshat, and you want the person who's reading the pshat to understand that you can't read this word literally, and you have to, when you're reading it, know that there's some other idea, so perhaps it's necessary to put a marker or to put something there, a dot there, to recognize that you can't read this literally. So the idea that Ezra wasn't sure about, again, another way to learn is that Ezra wasn't sure whether these ideas had to be nicker. The ideas of the psukim had to be obvious and be recognizable within the pshat, or they were drush, and that they could exist separately from the pshat, that you can read the Torah one way and have a more insight and more analysis and not be lacking if you read the Torah in that pshat way. So the second approach to the main question of the share of the dots is that it's not really that Ezra added extra letters, but it's really that Ezra wasn't sure whether the concepts of Vayishakehu or the concept of Uv Kuma, or the concept of the Isaron, all those concepts, he wasn't sure whether there was an intent to put the ideas in the pshat, and that when a person's reading the pshat, that they have to recognize that it's not literal, completely literal, as opposed to other cases where it's valid and it's perfectly reasonable to keep the pshat and the drash separate. Like, for example, by Lavan. So even though Lavan's intentions were just as nefarious as Esav's, according to one way of learning, so when Lavan went to kiss Yaakov, it's okay to learn it in a pshat way, that he really wants to kiss him and that he wanted to hug him. In fact, there's an idea there, because the idea was that Lavan was capable of hiding his motivations and his true motivations properly, and that's why the pshat, when you learn a pshat, there's nothing wrong with that. It's basically from an observer standpoint that if you looked at Lavan, you would think that he was just going to hug him. And then there's the drush, then you can analyze it and figure out what he was really trying to do. So what by over here, by Esav, but also in all these other cases, so Ezra maintained that the drush, the expansion, the ideas of the Torah Shebaal Peh, had to be nicker in the pshat. That it would be inappropriate and you'd be lacking if you learned the pshat without the drush, without the expansion. So that's the purpose of the dots. That when you read the Sefer Torah itself and you're learning, you know that there's something off about this idea, that it's not, you can't take it completely literally. Okay, so that's really the end of the shir. So I'm not really going to go into the machlokes, although I have one possibility, but we're going to hold off on that. But really, I wanted to take up that question. So let me just go through it one more time, because it might be a little bit difficult, but you can ask me if you want me to summarize it again. But the main question is based on our parsha. You see that when Esav kissed Yaakov, it says Vayishakehu, and there are dots in the Torah itself where you don't see it in many places. There are actual little diamonds on top of the word Vayishakehu. And the question is why? So they learn out that there's a machlokas as to the sincerity of Esav when he was kissing Yaakov. And then we went to the Avos Rabbi Nassan, which is the source for all these dots. And there are 10 places where these dots, and they all teach us unique ideas about these words that you couldn't get from the without the dots from the psukim themselves. And then there's this bizarre medrash that says that Ezra really, it sounds like Ezra was kind of winging it. And he wasn't sure whether certain words belonged in the Torah or not. So therefore, he put dots on top of the words that he wasn't sure about. But the other words that he was sure, he doesn't put dots on top of them. Most of the Torah he's sure about, but these he's not sure. The problem with that is that that's kfira, because it sounds like Ezra was writing his own words in the Torah, and not all the Torahs are the words in the Torah from God, or at least there's a doubt as to they are, and as to whether they are. And we know that that's kfira, that's heresy. So how do we learn? But yes, so Rav Moshe says the way to learn it is that we just erase it from the Avos Rabbi Nassan. It can't be true because it's kfira. But the Chizkuni has this medrash So how do we explain the Medrash in a rational way that we can understand it within the framework of the Yud Gimli Karm? So I offered two possibilities as to how the dots work and the concept of the dot. So one possibility is that there are many ideas that we can learn from the dots. And for example, Vayishakehu teaches us as to whether Esav really kissed him fully or not. So there are many ideas, and the thing is that whenever we expand in the Gemara, in the Talmud, you always need some anomaly in the Pasuk to allow us to expand. You need a Gzeira Shava, you need some type of relationship or anomaly in the actual grammar. But over here, Ezra wasn't sure. His question was, if you leave the word alone and you just leave it Vayishakehu, is it possible for a Chazal to use the Yud Gimel Midos or to use a methodology of expansion and analysis to understand these ideas that are so necessary to the Pasuk? So his answer was, I'm not sure. His answer was no. So he put the dots there in order to indicate what the ideas were. But in fact, the Medrash is telling us that if they're not necessary, they could be removed. The other possibility is that Ezra wanted the drash, these ideas, the concepts, to be included in the pshat. That normally, when you read the pshat, when you read the literal, and you read then you analyze it and you understand the ideas, it's okay for them to be separate. And there's a value to each one being separate and to learning each one alone. But over here, there's a value to them being combined. And in the actual pshat, when you're reading the Torah, let's say from a Sefer Torah, you have to know when you get to Vayishakehu that you can't take this fully literally. And Ezra understood that idea, so he was mesupak. His question was, do I leave these words alone without anything and leave the pshat and the drash separate? Or should I put the drash within the pshat in order to indicate that you can't learn this any other way? That there has to be some type of symbol that the words themselves do not mean what you think they mean. Okay, so that's really the end of the shir. Anybody have any questions on that point, on those two ideas? Okay, great. Thanks for calling in. Everybody have a good Shabbos.